Good morning, everyone. Hey, better late than never, isn't it not? forgive us for our late start, but it is obviously we've had a few technical things because as you can see, we are now in our main worship area. And so we've had a few technical issues this morning, but I tell you, a huge, huge welcome to you. And thanks to Rich and Ian and Adam, because we're all here and we've all been working towards this, but it's brilliant. So wherever you are, welcome. It's great to have you with us, whether you're on the phone or whether this is your first time streaming with us. Apologies again for the late start. But that video at the beginning, I think, is a great start for worship because it reminds us of why we're here and who we're here to worship. Because it's not just all the different aspects of worship, but it's about who Jesus is and all that he's done. And we're going to link into some of that as we go this morning. But let's thank God for what we've got and where we are, and let's pray. Let's commit our time to God, shall we? So, Father, thank you for the wonder of technology. Although sometimes it makes it a bit tense for us, but Lord, thank you that we can share this time of focusing upon you, of our worship, and thinking about you, Lord. We can have this opportunity. So, Father, thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for all that you have made possible. So we commit this time to you now. And I pray that, Lord, we'd enjoy being with you and we'd hear from you and you'd change our lives in that encounter. So we commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, there's just a few announcements, if I could. You've probably already had enough time to do this, but I don't know whether you've registered that it is communion this morning. So if you haven't got your bread or your cracker or whatever ready, and something to drink, some juice, or even a glass of wine, then please do that as we do that, because we'll be sharing communion later. A bit later on this week, of course, we're back to our worship on Wednesdays, and that will be from 7 till 8 on Wednesday. And we hope you enjoyed our prayer and praise sort of time last week. We're trying to sort of bring a bit of different emphasis. So if you did miss it, you can catch up here on the Facebook page. And of course, there is coffee time as well after the service today. And again, if you haven't got the Zoom sort of link for that, then please pop it in the comments and we'll make sure that you get to that. But it's really lovely because I can now hand over to my friend Adam, because he's going to play live for us. So over to you, Adam.
This is not a video. It makes a big difference to us as well that we're together. Let's sing together. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand has made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, I count you out, the universe display, then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in when I look down at lofty mountain grandeur, empty the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think of God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on that cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation,
so I wasn't sure I was on camera then. It's really good to see you this morning. My name is Richard Doherty. I'm the youth minister here at Emmanuel, and I'm going to share a little thing with you about feeling good enough. I don't know if you've ever worried whether or not you're good enough for God. Maybe you think, oh gosh, I'm not as tall as this person. I'm not as strong as this person. I'm not as clever at this person at my school. Or maybe you think, well, I keep making mistakes. I always lose my temper. Or I often say things I shouldn't. And maybe you worry that you're not quite good enough. And I've got a little glass of water here because this was lovingly brought to me by our minister Mark this morning to make sure that my voice is okay. And it's lovely, pure water. I don't know if it's filtered through the Purbeck Hills or not, but it's absolutely lovely. And it's really, really good when you drink it. But I've got another glass here, and I don't know if you can see it on camera, but this glass is really dirty. There's a whole bunch of salt or something in it. And actually, if I was to drink that, that probably wouldn't make me feel very nice. But the Apostle Paul, he wrote to his friends who are Christians, and he said that God told him that in our weaknesses, in the things we get wrong, in the ways that we're not perfect, in the ways that even we make mistakes sometimes, God uses those because he is strong. So in our weaknesses, God is made strong. And I want to show you something. When I pour some lovely water into my dirty glass here, something special should happen. Oh, there we go. It's growing. And that horrible dirty powder in there has turned into snow. Isn't that absolutely amazing? That this thing that I thought was rubbish and not very good and not very nice, when I poured my water in, it's transformed it and it's grown into something that's fun and wonderful for other people. And boys and girls, when we let Jesus into our life, he can transform the bits of us which aren't great and aren't perfect, or we're not very proud of, and he can turn us into something wonderful. that grows and is so much fun for other people to play with. So if you've ever worried whether or not you're good enough for God, Jesus says that he came to look for people who needed help. And that means me, and that means you. And my friend Adam is going to sing a really wonderful song, which we've sung a couple of times now, called Yes, Jesus Loves Me. And I want you to sing these words and know them in your heart, that Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give light and life to all who live. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let this little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, that my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sin and my sorrow, he made them his very own, and he bore the burden to Calvary and suffered. Shall ever be how.
Thanks, Adam. I can just turn to you now. It's really nice. But that's great. Do you have a problem with social distancing? Hey, it's not easy, is it? Because from my point of view, it's one of those really difficult things. And I don't know whether that's because we're church folk or not, but hang on, we're not quite with it. We are, but that's it. Anyway, I find it really quite difficult. It's awkward to keep the 2 meters, and depending on whatever situation you're in, it makes it even more difficult. And it's especially hard, isn't it, when you're actually wanting to give people a hug, you're actually wanting to come close. It's difficult. But I'm convinced that there are some people who just don't care by the way which they act. They've got no other sort of understanding at all of keeping a distance. And you're trying to be good, you're trying to keep your distance, and someone else is actually in the other place or in the wrong place. So, this is the social distancing thing. Okay, we're there. I think what we need to do is adapt some of these ideas. I love them. How about this one? Isn't that classic? Can you imagine us all walking around with those? I think they're like those boom things you go swimming with, aren't they? You know, sort of keep you 2 meters apart. How about this one? Yeah, it makes it a little awkward, doesn't it, really, to wander around. And hey, about this, when you go for your burger, how about one of them hats on to make sure you're not sort of getting too close on your social distancing? And I'm not going to make any comment on the fact that it's 2 women in this situation. However, it does make it sort of a little bit different. And what about this one? Now, that's what I call dining out in style in a little greenhouse. Hey, these are all sort of incredible opportunities which people have got, which people have become very inventive, very creative about trying to keep our distance. But how does it feel, I wonder, for us when God feels a bit distant? That makes it much more difficult, doesn't it? As though he's socially distancing you. Well, that's what it feels like. And you feel a long way off. Actually, I think this is more common for us all than we would sometimes like to admit to. But it's real, and it happens to us all from time to time. We just feel distant from God. But you know, the reason, more often than not, is because we've moved, not God. God stays static. It's us who do the moving. And this can sometimes be because, I don't know, things going on around us. The very stuff of life. You know, life goes ups and downs. And sometimes some of those downs might take us away and cause us to shift. I mean, this whole virus thing. The fact that we are like this today is because this virus. And it's thrown us. It throws our whole pattern. And sometimes it means that that becomes a barrier between us and God. It could be other people. It could be family situations. It could be our work situations. And even church, dare I say. The fact that, you know, we might not be meeting back as we would like. You know, whatever it might be, these things all build to make it much more difficult for us. And pushes almost God away. And it's easy, therefore, to lose our focus, to shift our focus away from God onto these other things. And that's because the battle gets quite intense at times. Now, we know he's there somewhere, yet we realize he's slipped into the background and other things have taken his place. And he's not where we would like him to be or we know he should be. And it could be that we've made certain choices, some of them wrong, which have set us apart. And these sort of life distractions cause us to neglect where God should be. We don't put him where he should be. And our times with him, those intentional times, just start to slip away. And, you know, these circumstances slowly build over the days, over the weeks, and over the months, until God is way at the far edges of our lives. We still know he's there, sort of, but he's not where he should be. And we push him to the fringe. And these other things start to dominate and become the priority for us. And it's not him who's moved. It's us. Well, I believe that today God wants to help us with this. He wants to remind us about some really important stuff of how easy it is to drift, but also what causes that drifting. And more particularly, God doesn't want to make us feel guilty in that whole process, but rather say to us, hey, I want you back. Come back. Come back into my presence. Because we're able to. Because of what he's done. And it's really, really important. So the invitation to you this morning, if you're in that feeling, that distant place, come back because we can. And we may, as we've said quite often, you know, we take for granted this incredible access which God's made to us and given to us. The dynamic of the relationship which we have with God through Jesus. And we take it so much for granted. And at times we neglect it, but the invitation is come back. He's made it possible for us to come back, but it's down to us. It's our decision, ultimately, whether we come back or not, or whether we stay at a distance. Now, we've just come to the end of our September soundbites, our readings of Jesus' sayings and statements. When he was down here on earth. And I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you found it valuable and inspiring. Yet, what we've revisited and even learned for the first time by going through these statements is that we need to allow God to speak and even shape our lives as a result of them. It's all very well sort of saying things and having these things there. Actually, we need to take them on board, and particularly at times when we're struggling, and these dark times when God feels in that distant place. Because, you know, it's not only what Jesus said, though they're powerful, it's what Jesus did, which is really, really important. And I believe we need to remind ourselves of those things, what he did, and apply them, receive them and apply them to our lives. And that's especially pertinent, I believe, when we're feeling guilty about our priorities, the way things have shifted, the choices we've made. And we may feel shame, we may feel guilt, and we think that those wrong choices are dominating, and that's it. Because we've let God down, we can't keep come back close. That's not true. We can. But these things have put us at a distance. And all this being at a distance from God theme for me was brought home last week as I read Exodus 19. And this whole incredible story of Moses meeting God and the people. And that it was an awe-inspiring moment. I'd love to have been there. But I want us to read just a section so we catch a bit of a flavor. There's quite a lot of preparation has gone on before this. But from verse 16, it says this. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it with fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, "Go down and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them." You know, only Moses at that point could meet with God. The people had to stay at a distance because they were unholy. They were tainted with sin. So they had to remain at a distance. If they tried to come close, they would die. And they would die because God is a pure and holy God without sin. And his purity and his power and his otherness expressed in this particular instance with the fire and the smoke and the loud blast of the ram's horn. He used it as a warning and almost as a reminder. He is a holy God, an almighty, powerful, holy God. But it means that the people could not approach him. They had to keep their distance. In fact, God was at a distance because of that. Far away and almost untouchable in many ways, except through Moses, who was that intermediary at that point. And then later, through the law, and then through the rituals and sacrifices, the people could go, but they had to go through this whole process. Now, keep that imagery in mind. And now, let's fast forward to something completely different, in complete and total contrast, recorded by Luke, to that incident where Jesus, surrounded and jostled by the crowds of people, and that woman who'd suffered from bleeding for 12 years without a cure. And she would have been seen as unclean, unholy under the Jewish law. So she shouldn't have been there. But she touched Jesus' garment and was instantly healed. And then how Jesus spoke to her and declared her whole, declared her healed. You can read it for yourselves in Luke chapter 8, verses 42 to 48. But what an incredible and remarkable contrast. between that situation, the two incidents, that of a holy, untouchable God on a mountain with all the holy presence of the fire and the smoke and the ram's horn, it must have been terrifying. To that of God incarnate in the person of Jesus, who was being squeezed and jostled by the crowd and allowing himself to be touched in order to bring the healing and wholeness and life to a mere unknown, unclean woman. Wow, what a transformation. What a distance to travel. But it happened. And you know, that's all about the fact that Jesus has brought that closeness. He brought the distance of God to the very touch of God. He brought that which was a problem, he solved it so that we could come close. So that broken humanity could meet with the holy and almighty and all-powerful God. Jesus came and stood right in the gap. And he has given us access to God, which we were denied before because of the sin which was in us. And yet now, every single one of us, hear that, every single one of us can approach God in an intimate and personal way through Jesus. Hallelujah! Isn't that amazing? So what I want to do is just read to you now some verses from John 17, which just so emphasize this contrast. It's the most amazing passage. It's just Jesus' prayer, of course, just before he went to the place of the cross. He knew what was going to happen, and he knew how significant that which he was going to go through was going to be. So, from verse 17, make them holy, he says, by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so that they may be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, as just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me before the world began. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I know you. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? This is the wonderful, amazing, and so encouraging knowledge and the emphasizing the very significant difference that Jesus has made. It's deeply profound. Let me just summarize it for you. He's brought us close to the great and almighty, all-powerful and holy God. He's made him accessible to you and me as sinners. All of us. He's removed our sin and he's cleansed us so that we can come close to God without being put to death, without losing our life, by breaking the power of sin and death and hell over us. He's given us total healing and restoration of body, mind and spirit, just like that woman when she touched. And that's through forgiveness. And through the release from sin and by putting his Holy Spirit within us. And he's wanting us to become like him, which is even more of a miracle. To become one with him, Jesus said, just as Jesus and the Father are one. He brings us life and hope instead of death and despair, both now, here on earth, through the Holy Spirit within us, but also for eternity, for that which we can look forward to, because he saved us from hell and that eternal separation. And he's enabled us to know his peace. Hey, don't we need peace? That true shalom peace of God. And to make us holy in God's eyes. So that we're not at angst with ourselves and with the circumstances, but we can be at peace with him. And he's also bestowed on us through the Holy Spirit the gifts to be able to serve him and to be able to receive many of the other blessings. He's also made it possible for us to be partners with him in the purposes and the establishment of the kingdom of God here on earth. This is just amazing. And we can do this without any law and without any rituals. And he's invited us to share in his mission to touch this world with the love and the salvation of God. Isn't this all just incredible? Actually, it blew my mind. When God revealed this to me, I thought, I can't take this on in. Such a contrast from being so far away and so distant, but now being brought near and close. As I said, we're coming towards communion. We're going to share communion together. And this is a reminder of the wonder of this travel from far away to being close, from a distant God to a near God, to a God who, in fact, lives in you. And I hope and I pray that that will be the reality of it this morning. And it's all because of Jesus. And communion through the bread and the wine reminds us of that. So if you feel distant this morning, if you feel a long way from God this morning, perhaps full of sin, guilty and shameful of the decisions you've made, the wrong choices, the way you've let things, other priorities creep in, let me encourage you as we come towards communion to take some time to draw near and to come close. And we're going to use a song to do that. As Adam plays, let's allow God to draw us close to him.
Draw me close to you. Let me go. Help me. draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way, bring me back to you.
Bearing those words in mind, let's just take a time just in silence now, just to wait upon God. Let's allow God to minister to us. So no matter what situation we've found ourselves in recent weeks or months or years even, the fact is that we are being invited today to come, to be with God, to meet with him, to draw close because of all that we've just been thinking about, all that he's done. And it makes the words which I'm going to say to you now, even more powerful and significant. So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Thank you, Lord, for that invitation. But now, let's bring that sinfulness, those failings to God. We're going to pray together, and you can pray this out loud where you are. We're going to confess our sin to God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I confess my sins to you. The sins of the past and of the present. Those hidden and forgotten, as well as those remembered. My sins of thought and desire, of word, of deed, and of omission. The sins that I am too dull of heart to see, the sins that others can see and I cannot, the sins known to you and you alone. I am sorry for all of them. I ask you to forgive me through the merit of Jesus, my Savior. Please renew your life in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to give thanks for the bread and the wine, and I hope you've got your bread or your cracker or whatever at home. But this is the moment where we just need to say thank you, God. We need to thank him for all that he's done. And the bread, it represents all that Christ did to make access to him possible. And the wine of his shed blood, which cleanses us and has given us that access to God. So before we take the bread and the wine, we're going to sing that song, Take Me In. Take me right in, Lord, to your very heart. Thanks, Adam.
It's only found in one place. So take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am.
So let's give thanks to the Lord for the bread and the wine. Father, thank you for the simplicity of these earthly symbols. But thank you, God, for the profound depth of a reminder of all that you have done for us. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for us, for allowing your body to be broken for us. Thank you, God, for the sacrifice which has made us holy and given us access to you. Lord, meet with us, I pray, as we share in the bread now. So, wherever you are, just take some bread and receive Christ afresh and all that he's done for you. And let's remember that Christ and his blood was poured out for us. Poured out so that we could be restored to our Heavenly Father, to our Creator. He's brought us close to him through the shed blood of Christ. So thank you, Lord, for this wine, as it simply speaks of that bridge being built, that separation being removed, so that, Lord, we can come close. Thank you, Jesus. We receive it with grateful and thankful hearts. Amen. Let's drink together. Father God, we want to thank you. Thank you so much for bringing us so close, for bringing us near when our sin and our weaknesses would keep us at a distance. Lord, I pray that we will not allow anything to take away that closeness of relationship with you. Because, Lord, you are our very life. You're the very breath in our bodies. Remind us, Lord, I pray, when perhaps we start to drift away, help us, Lord, to come back, to come close. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Amen. You know, it's such an expression of how deep the Father's love is for us. So we're going to sing that now. Thanks, Adam.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of sin in us, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold a man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is free. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Thanks, Adam. It's really nice being in the same room together. It's great. If God has said something, if there's something you need to do, then let me really encourage you, take those steps. Keep coming. Keep coming back. Keep that short account of our lives with God, because he is welcoming us. He is inviting us back into that closeness and intimacy of relationship with him. If you want some help, then get in touch with me. Get in touch with us. Drop a message on the comments now. But let's do that journey. Let's keep going. Thanks for your patience this morning as we were a bit late getting off. But I hope it's been good. I hope you've enjoyed the different way which we've done things this morning. As it's helping to prepare a way, perhaps, for the future. But we're going to close our service now with the grace as normal. And it's really lovely because we've got Margaret Huxtable who's going to share that with us. So God bless you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. And the church said, Amen.